This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Tan Chung Han. And in the studio with us this morning, Jamil Ahmad, Global Head of Currency Strategy and Market Research for FXTM. Thanks, Jamil, for joining us this morning.
All right, Jamil, so it's another week of key central bank decisions. You've got the Bank of Japan, you've got the Fed, the BOE, that's the Bank of England, all set to announce policy decisions this week. In your view, which central bank will you be watching most closely, you know, over the next few days?
Well, thank you very much for having me, firstly. The central bank that I'll be watching the most is the Bank of England. And the reason for this is because of the expectations that due to the accelerated sterling weakness since the EU referendum and the associated inflation pressures that it's brought to the UK economy, that the Bank of England might actually have to raise UK interest rates this week. And it's probably going to be one of the most highly anticipated and probably highly debated meetings in recent memory. Reason for this is that the Bank of England could just be raising interest rates because of UK inflation. Mm. If you look at the economic uncertainty coming from the Brexit, also that nobody really has any idea quite yet, and still, how the Brexit is actually going to pan out. The UK is actually the weakest economy in the G7 right now, and there's a lot of other uncertainty as well for the UK, and it looks like the Bank of England could be raising interest rates just for inflation, where on many other metrics, it's warranted to keep rates low and potentially even lower in the future.
And it's interesting that you say that the BOE may be pushed into raising interest rates just because of inflation. When you compare that with, say, the ECB and the Fed, they seem to be ignoring the lack of inflation, you know, and going ahead with their policy directions to begin with. So what sets the BOE apart from, say, their counterparts, again, in the Fed and the ECB?
I think what it comes down to is the pure shock of the Brexit decision last year, because you saw the British pound weaken by 30% last year. Okay, it's rebounded 8-9% this year, but it's still weakest level in around a generation. And of course, that leads to price pressures, import price pressures. You feel the cost of living, and you're seeing food is increasing and so on. So what we're seeing is really high inflation in the UK right now. It's its highest level since around 2011. Mm. It's now accelerated to around 3% annually, which means that the BOE governor, Mark Carney, who heads the UK Central Bank, he actually has to write a letter to the Chancellor explaining exactly why inflation's got so high. And this is what's going to lead to this expectation that the Bank of England might raise UK interest rates this week. Personally, I think they should leave it on hold because of all the other uncertainty, but there could be a really debated decision that leads to an increase.
Perhaps Mark Carney is listening right now, then he can take a take some hints from there. All right, now looking at the Fed, though, so you say that the BOE, you know, that's going to drive perhaps the FX markets this week, at least in your view. Looking at the Fed, yeah, I know it looks to be a non-event because at least when it comes to market expectations, there's just a 0.3% chance of a rate hike this week. So, you know, where does the Fed feature into all of this?
Okay, so the market's already expecting a U.S. interest rate rise next month in December. That's when the Fed is supposed to pull a trigger on another interest rate rise. What we're really looking out for from the Federal Reserve this week, and it's specifically from President Trump, is the potential nomination of the new Fed chair. Mm. And this is what's likely going to drive volatility for the dollar. There's a lot of different opinions out there that Donald Trump could nominate somebody who's going to be more dovish, which means more negative towards U.S. interest rates, in order to promote his pro-growth stimulus and if the tax reforms comes to support the U.S. economy. Mm. While others believe that actually he could actually appoint a very hawkish and upbeat Federal Reserve chair, which could really strengthen the dollar and mean higher interest rates in the United States.
Does FXTM have a guess one way or another right now?
It's very hard. If you would have asked me 1 year ago, we would have said hawkish because Donald Trump was very publicly mentioning the need for higher U.S. interest rates, that the stock market in the U.S. was a bubble. 1 year later, he's taken credit for the stock market gains. And if he wants to really pursue pro-growth, economic reforms and fiscal stimulus, he needs lower borrowing rates. Mm. But and then again, this is President Trump. It's going to be a little bit unpredictable. We're not really sure which way this one's going to go.
But how much bandwidth will this new Fed chair have, really? Because, you know, this monetary policy continuity, that appears to be well telegraphed anyway. So will a new Fed chair really alter things much, at least when it comes to market expectations?
It can do, because one thing that the Federal Reserve has always managed to maintain is central bank independence. But now when you look at the White House, you look at President Trump's unspoken nature, where he will comment on central bank policy, he will comment on other financial market developments. If he starts issuing concerns or predicting that rates will move in any direction. If it appears that the central bank might be under the influence at all, even listening, it's going to cause investor anxiety. And there's already so much anxiety around the US dollar. Very sensitive to political risk. Investors are getting used to this because it's something we're never used to before. So that's why I say it is something we should look out for.
All right, so what's your call on the dollar story, at least from now to the end of 2017? Again, keeping in mind the point you mentioned earlier. One, we've got to perhaps look forward to the announcement of a new Fed chair this week, and also that expected rate hike by December. Looking at Fed funds futures rate right now, over 85%. So with all that in mind, what's the dollar story between now and year end?
I think the dollar will remain supported. Reason for this is because we've seen such extreme dollar weakness earlier in the year. And Donald Trump actually needs some luck when it comes to his tax policies. And it looks like the US Senate are finally passing at least a few of the policies through. And it's getting more optimistic that tax reforms will come in the future in the United States. It will not be as much as the market was expecting, but it should be enough to support the dollar in the medium term.
All right. Now let's go over to the ECB then. Last week, they announced their plans to halve their bond purchases starting in January 2018. And we did see the euro tumble after Mario Draghi's announcement, right? So has that news been fully priced in, or do you think it'll have some more legs this week?
Traders priced in as much good news into the Europe many months ago on the need for higher interest rates, that the ECB would eventually cut back on stimulus. So I'm not that surprised at the market reaction. What I think is the near-term risk for the euro is actually this ongoing Catalonia crisis, because it looks like it's accelerating, it looks like it's going to be a little bit worse. And any more risk around Catalonia when it just comes to uncertainty in Spain, or whether this movement spreads anywhere else across Europe, because that hasn't been priced in at all, that's what's going to be the near-term risk for the euro.
All right. And, well, we also got to keep in mind that Draghi appears to be leaving the QE door open for perhaps lower for longer. So do you have a perhaps medium to long-term view on the euro then?
I think in the medium and longer term, the best bet really for a very high euro dollar would be 120, 122. Over the near term, it's potentially going to drop as much as 114. If the EU risks really do accelerate when it comes to uncertainty, perhaps 112. But this still, it's a bit core to make right now, because no matter what's going on in Spain and Catalonia, the European Union's going to refuse to accept what's going on and saying we will not accept an independent Catalonia. That somewhat limits the encouragement for any other separatist party within Europe to pretend and do another Catalonia.
Now let's bring things home real quick. Last Friday, we had the tabling for Malaysia's budget 2018. So what's your take on that, you know, broadly speaking?
I think the budget reflects that the improving fundamentals of the Malaysian economy. It's what surprised me a little bit was to see that the growth was not as high for next year as what's been projected for this year. Overall, it's not going to make that much of an impact to the ringgit over the medium and longer term. It'd be interesting to see whether it has any impact on the Malaysian capital market when it comes to the major equity index. What I do think, though, is that the ringgit will probably stabilize a little bit more. If the dollar does manage to weaken, we can see a stronger ringgit towards the end of the year, but most of the gains have been done at this point.
Yep, thank you very much. That was Jamil Ahmad, Global Head of Currency Strategy and Market Research with Forex Time.
We'll be back with more business news and analysis. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.